Well, good morning again. My name is Jared Spencer, and I'm here to share about something that I'm very passionate about in regards to prayer, that is involving prayer and marriage. A little bit about myself. I've been in ministry for the past 7 years and in a church in Illinois, and so we've been able to come here, and I enjoy this opportunity to be here. You know, a wife was at home busy frying eggs when her husband came into the door. He walked into the kitchen and immediately started yelling, "Careful, careful, more oil, turn them now. We need more oil. They're going to stick. Careful, careful, turn them, hurry up. Are you crazy? The oil is going to spill. Use more salt, the salt, the salt." The wife was very upset as her husband came in telling that to her. "What's wrong with you? Why are you yelling like this? Do you think that I don't know how to fry an egg?" The husband calmly replied, "Well, I just wanted you to know what it's like for me when I'm driving the car and you're sitting next to me." You know, prayer can make a significant impact on marriage. My wife and I, who is back there with a baby, we share a passion for marriage and relationships. I use it all over in our community. I am grateful for the opportunity that God has given me to sub in our high school and junior high, and our school system is not unlike any others. We have those that are getting pregnant out of wedlock and involved with marriages and involved with relationships and those kinds of things. And so it gives me open doors to share this kind of information with them. But also whenever I go out into the community or see others out there being able to share about this, my wife and I have had groups in our homes, as far as small group studies specifically on marriage. You know, being just 33, you know, I'm pretty young, and overall, even though we've been married for 10 years, I know I don't know everything about marriage. But the groups the couples that were in our group were all married probably 10 years more than us that were in our group that we had this last fall. And it's amazing how God really changes people as you see prayer involved with marriage. You know, we know that this country has a problem with marriage itself, in regards to there's a lot of divorces going on out there. And I think a lot of it has to do with the information that I'm going to share first, and then we'll get into a little bit about prayer. A lot of the information that I'm sharing in this first part is from a book called Love and Respect. I don't know if you've seen that book. It's by Emerson Eggerich, and it's a very good book. A lot of times when you think about love, specifically love, you think about very feminine. You know, and it's very something that is a man is not going to be very attracted to. You know, I for one, am not very attracted to even the idea of our Savior and the idea of having your bosom as a man. You're not going to go put your head on another man's bosom. That's just not something that you think about when you think about love and you think about being close to someone, especially in the guy realm. And so when you think about that, you know, sometimes the idea of marriage and relationship kind of turns guys off. But the thing that I loved about the book Love and Respect is it helps guys just as much as it helps women. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 33 is a common text when it comes to marriage and relationships. As it ends with, in verse 33, talking about the certain words, love and respect. And Paul is addressing the marriage relationship in this, and he's wanting them to understand a little bit about what's going on in marriage. If you would read along with me, I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, starting in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of one body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, I'm going to be really looking at verse 33 there in regards to love and respect. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a Starbucks or anything that really has an opportunity where people can kind of get together. But at Starbucks, they have little round tables. They have little round tables where people can get together and they can look at each other. They can look at each other and they can talk and visit. Well, most of the time whenever I've been in there, you see a lot of women. You see a lot of women sitting across and they're visiting. They might be visiting about their day and they're really going at it. And they're really going at it, looking at each other's eyes. But you don't see construction workers coming in there, getting across a little table and saying, you know, talking about the situations that they've had on the job and talking about how maybe their hammer didn't work and all the different things that they went through that day. You know, they just don't do that. You know, guys like to sit and they like to watch and they like to sit kind of next to each other. And we'll get into that when we look into the guys' part. But wives and women like to be close to each other. And so the acronym in the first part of love and respect is called couple. And each one of those stand for something. Well, the first one is closeness. The C stands for closeness. You know, wives like husbands to be close. They like to know them and they long for you to give your attention to them. They like you to not be far away. Now, I've had a revelation in regards to this information over the past couple of years. And, you know, there was a time in which my wife said, you know, we don't really spend any time together. And I looked past over the past few days or maybe even week and I thought, you know, we sit down, I come home from the office, we have a meal together, we watch TV, we're sitting right there next to each other all evening. And I'm thinking, how do you not think that I'm never around? I know I'm not close to you. I put my arm around her. You know, how can I be doing that? And it was until I understood some of these things to understand how important it is to be close to a wife and what that means. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and looking in verse 5. Now, some of you are not newly married. Some of you may not be married at all. But this verse talks about a husband who is newly married. It says in verse 5, it says, "When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home for 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken." Now, that's an important verse to think about because even back then, they saw the usefulness for being close, for the husband being close to the home. And not being out there, even in public duty or even in the middle of the army. And so part of the reason that you see ladies sitting close to each other is because they want to be close. And so they kind of expect that out of men. Now men, whenever you are courting, or maybe some of you are courting or dating your wife, you probably talk. When my wife and I were dating, she was in LCU and I was up in Nebraska going to school. And so we were 11 hours apart when it came to travel time. Well, that was before cell phones came out with unlimited nights and weekends and all that kind of stuff. Sprint loved me. I had $200 bills for the month for long distance. And I got all kinds of little $20, $50 discounts on my next bill because I was spending so much time on the phone. And I loved to talk to her. And everything along those lines, and when I was able to get together with her, we were talking. I mean, we could hardly go a day without talking to each other. But then I was like every other male, just about, that once we got married, then that kind of shut off a little bit. And I kind of had lured her in, if you will, kind of using the joke, and kind of got her back, you know, on my side, if you will. And so I kind of missed the boat in that aspect. And I kind of fell victim to what a lot of other guys fall victim to. But the other one is openness. It's kind of in correlation with closeness. But women need their husbands to be open. They want to know about your day. How many times, and I know a man in our congregation who admits, you know, he drives 20 minutes home, and when he gets home, his wife will say, "How's your day?" He'll say, "Fine." And that's it. That's the whole time. And if he had a bad day, he needs some time to kind of regurgitate the day and kind of think about it and then go on from there. And he might talk a little bit about it, but he's not real open. He's not real open about his day and the situations that involves him. And so husbands need to be able to open up because when they do, your wife just eats that up. Your wife loves it when you open up and tell a little bit about your day and a little bit about your life and just is totally open in every other realm. But the third one is understanding. You know, as a husband is close and open, then they kind of start to understand. And so men, and I'm victim of this also, to be able to understand your wife means that you can't be staring at your newspaper while you're having a conversation. Or you can't be watching SportsCenter or something along those lines. And I've had to learn to know where the mute button is whenever she needs to say something that's very important. I mean, we can talk about a lot of things, but when it comes to something very important, then I don't need to be around something that distracts me. And I have to eliminate those kinds of things. And so we use the mute button, and sometimes we even have to use the off button, because when our TV goes to mute, then the caption comes on, and sometimes that can be entertaining for me, even on HDTV. You know, there'll be maybe no other day that I want to watch HDTV till I'm involved in a situation like that and I get distracted. So sometimes we have to just turn that off too. But understanding can also be expressed through listening. And this is something else that husbands sometimes have a natural talent in, if you will, but it sometimes gets us in trouble. It's the idea of when a wife comes to him and says, comes to him and says, you know, this and this happened to me today. You're quick to say, hey, I know how to fix that. I know how to fix that problem. We are problem solvers by nature. And so if my wife is saying, you know, I really don't know exactly what to wear, she's not wanting me to go in there and say, look at that closet and pick out something. You have a lot of great things to wear. Now, for husbands, if you said, I don't have anything to wear, you would probably be thinking, well, my wife needs to do my laundry. But for husbands, but for wives, it's not that way. For wives, it's the idea of saying, you know, the things that I've had, I've been here for the last X amount of months, and I need to get something new. And so it's something that really helps us understand our wife. And the fourth one is peacemaking. It's peacemaking. When you've messed up things, talking about the husbands, she needs you to come to her with a sincere apology. This doesn't necessarily mean the words, I'm sorry. But for her to hear that you know what you did that was wrong. Not just to say, you know, I'm sorry and try to go on with it. Because another book that's very good for both husbands and wives, one for husbands is called For Men Only. It's talking about for women. And for women, it's called For Women Only, talking about men. And it's very enlightening to a lot of the things that how our minds operate. And those are a couple of books for you to, other than Love and Respect, to think about. But the idea of understanding your wife and coming to her with a sense of peacemaking. I'm not trying to just eliminate, because as the book in For Men Only talks about, that women have, and you will probably all understand this, women, is you have an open window. And we've, through our experiences with husbands and wives, and even in our own experience, you know, you might have a little squabble in the morning. Well, for men, they like to go off and work and do their thing, and they're coming home, and the wife wants to bring it up again. And the husband's like, hey, we left that like 8 hours ago. Can't you get over it? The wife isn't going to get over it. She can't get over it. She has, as it's described in computer terms, an open window. It's like minimized, but it's open. It's still there. It's going to be able to, you know, be there forever and ever and ever until you come full circle with it and you can get through that. So if you're just saying, I'm sorry, to end the situation, you're just not getting it. And she needs to know that you're getting it. Loyalty is the fifth one. This world is full of sexually implied messages. You know, girls are told to look away, look a certain way, and messages are out there to draw men's eyes away. Women know the pressures, and there is a sense of concern in each woman's mind that the husband might be drawn to look at someone else, even in just passing. And husband, your wives need to feel the loyalty and the secure of your love, that your eyes are only for her, and that you're committed. There's a from the book For Men Only, there's a section in there that talks about this. The idea that your eyes need to be on her, and she can sense when they're not. It could be just through the way that you're going about things. A few years ago, the men in our congregation went to a town nearby that had a semi-pro football team. And there was just a few of us, just a van full of us. And there was one gentleman who was not from our congregation, who was a friend of someone else. And as we got there, I knew that there was going to be cheerleaders at this event. This was a men's football team. And I had read in one of the books of David Robinson. And someone asked him one time, he was an NBA sports player for the San Antonio Spurs, they had asked him why he always looked down when he had exposure to the cheerleaders out there. He said, my eyes are for my wife, not for them. And so as we were walking into this venue, it was a stadium about like this one, I told the guys, I said, remember, you know, as we're here to have fun, we need to be honoring our wives with our eyes. And that's all I said. And that stuck to basically every married man that was there. Not all of us were married. Because it's important to enjoy the opportunity of having fun in a situation like that, but not let Satan attack us by luring us away to those kinds of empty things. So your wives need to know that you're loyal. And that's not going to stop with just an I love you in the morning and it goes on until the next week. They need to know that on and on and on and on, because it's going to have an effect of how strong your marriage is and how committed the whole marriage situation is. And the last one is esteeming. You know, not just making sure that your eyes are only on your wife, but she also needs you to remind her of how beautiful she is. Your wife's beauty scale is measured by how beautiful their husbands make them feel. Let me say that again. Your wife's beauty scale is measured by how beautiful their husbands make them feel. In other words, your wife feels as beautiful as you let her know about. If you never tell her she's beautiful, then she's not going to feel it. By you especially. And so as we think about this, it's important. I had a praying husbands group, and that's another Power of Praying Husband, Power of Praying Wife. Power of Praying Husband group, and I had 8 other men in there for the period of time as we went through that. And I gave them a challenge to go home in that week and tell their wives that they were beautiful. Well, one gentleman has been married for quite some time. They're about to celebrate their 50th year, and I think he told me that he said it to his wife, and she acted like, you know, basically, what are you on? Because obviously it wasn't something that he said on a regular basis and probably hadn't said for quite some time. I mean, he's very much a guy's guy. And so as we think about marriage, and you think about one of the things that would really benefit a marriage, and I'll get into prayer at the end of this, but the idea of for husbands to be a couple, to understand the couple, the closeness, the openness, the understanding, the peacemaking, the loyalty, and the esteeming, and how that just energizes. That's the chapter that it's all about, is the energizing cycle, is that will energize your wife. Now, I'm sure all your wives are out there saying, you know, I hope my husband's listening to this, or my husband needs to listen to this. But now we're going to get into what the husband needs and what some of the things that the husband goes through. And his acronym is CHAIRS, because he likes to chair the relationship. That's something that is instinctful in his relationship. Men love to go out and conquer the world. You think back, if you're know anything about anthropology, you know that when cavemen were around, that the women kind of stayed home and the men went out and hunted. The men went out and hunted, they went out and they conquered. They were able to conquer what they needed to help their family. And wives, if you understand that your husbands want to be the best in every situation, it will help. You know, when husbands walk into a room, I don't know if you're like most guys, but if you have to talk to a guy that you don't know, probably one of the first 10 sentences that you will say is a question of saying, so what do you do? What do you do? They want to know what your job is. That's something that we ask. I've done that many, many times. It's kind of like when you can't think of anything else, fall back on that. Maybe you'll have some kind of commonality there. Men don't want to be lower than other men. Now, I'm not going to talk about certain careers out there because I don't want to put them on any kind of level. But if you're a certain kind of career and you feel proud about that, or if you lost your job, you're not going to be very proud about that. So you don't want to walk into a room and be talking about that. Sometimes wives can fall victim of saying, you know, that's not the way my dad is, or that's not, or you're not quite as good as my dad, or something along those lines. And that really puts them down. Really puts them down, and because they want to be the best. Or if you said, well, you're not romantic like Joe is, puts them down. And so if you can understand how they want to be the best, they want to try to do many things and make sure they're able to achieve the conquest. Men will determine about other men by what they do in life. And so it's just a nature of respect. They also like to do hierarchy. That's the second one, is hierarchy. Men like to protect and to provide. Men will do all that they can in order to protect their wives, specifically even physically. You know, he just feels the need to work also. He likes to provide financially. He will want to put in extra time to make sure that the bills are paid because he wants to provide. He will work overtime, overtime, overtime to make sure that there's enough money in the bank to be able to provide for his family. and this can be abused. But the wife that appreciates it will energize her husband. If she will let her husband know how much she appreciates him, that he works so hard for the family, that will just pump him up like crazy. The third one is authority when you're chairing the situation. The male is geared to be the head of the household. But sometimes wives won't feel this way and or won't allow the husband to be the authority in the family. The wife is to submit to her husband, as we read earlier. But not that doesn't mean to be a doormat. That doesn't mean to be a doormat. The idea of submission is to take a back seat. Because Scripture kind of teaches us that wives are to give the weight of the things to the man. He wants it and he expects it. When I load the car, when we go on a trip, I want to do that. That's something that I want to have the responsibility for. You know, sometimes Aubrey will ask me, you know, is certain things in place that they won't fall over or won't get dirty or something like that? And I go back and I check, or I'll talk to her about it, and we'll go through the situation. But I want to be the one to do that. That is something that I want to be able to have the authority to do, and I expect to have that. But as a wife, your quiet and your gentle spirit will melt a man's heart. It will just totally melt a man's heart when you have that quiet and gentle spirit. Sometimes letting him fail in certain things. Not always having the "I told you so" type attitude. The next one is insight. Women, your husbands like to tell you what they know. That comes through analyze and counsel. I don't know how many of you like to play sports. But I played a lot of sports, and I've been around a lot of sports during my lifetime. I was an athletic trainer before I went into preaching. And so I've been to a lot of different games, a lot of different sports. And I'm not a big person that plays video games, but I play video games every once in a while, specifically sports. And sometimes I like to say, have her just watch me, and I'll show her the achievements that I've made, how many times I've won the national championship in what's called fake football. But we are natural problem solvers as men. We like to suggest how to do things, and that's what I was talking about earlier. Whenever you sometimes are talking and the man wants to say, hey, this is how it needs to be done, it comes natural for us, but then that's when we need to put on the brakes. But if your husband is not able to, you know, kind of calm that talent down, if you will, then you can understand that. You can understand that that's something that he does and appreciate it in a sense, because he wants to be able to fix things. He wants to be able to make things right. And one thing that will really gear him up or make him really happy is that when he is able to work on things and he's really working maybe on the car or mowing the yard, trying to conquer certain things, is to go out and watch him. To go out and watch him, because he will be energized by that. Just your attention. Just your attention out there, he will be appreciating that. You know, when you recognize his approach to problem solving, he's going to be rejuvenated. The last one, or the fifth one, is relationship. You know, men are pumped up by spending time with their buddies. They love to spend time with their buddies. Sometimes that gets young husbands in trouble because they're used to spending so much time with their male friends that they want to go out there and spend more time instead of spending so much time with their wife. But their buddy doesn't have to be a guy. They really like to spend time doing things that they like with you. They like to go to events with you. They like to even go hunting with you. If you would do that, then they would love that. You could go out there and sit in a tree stand, not say anything all day, and they would love that. They would love that. They would be close to you and close to you and close to you through that. Now, different men are going to have different things in which energizes them in regards to how they like to spend time together. You know, I love to go to events. We go to our local high school football and basketball games. My wife is not as big a fan of basketball as she is with football, but she knows that I like to do that. And so she'll go with me. She'll go and we'll sit there and we'll watch our local team and enjoy it. But it's not something that she enjoys as much as I do. But it's something that she does to energize me. You know, they like to have you watch them do things, as I said earlier, about working on the car or working around the house. Maybe even playing sports. I don't know how many of you were able to play some kind of sport when you were dating the husbands. And your wife or even your girlfriend at that particular time was watching you from the sidelines. You probably love to have them watch. You probably wanted to perform your best out there. That is just something that is instinct to us. And a wife that could understand that would really do well to energize her husband through that. The last one, the S, is sexuality. Sexuality. Now, wives, I want to ask you a question. Nobody has to answer this, but how long could you go without talking to your husband? How long could you go without talking to your husband? Could you go a whole day? As far as really wanting to talk, not just passing by. Could you go 2 days? Could you go a whole week? Could you go 3 weeks? Think about that time. Think about that time that would be in there. You need talk like you need breath. You need to be able to breathe and to be able to talk to your husband, to have that closeness, understanding, openness, all those things that energizes you. You need that because that fills your spirit. It helps you draw closer to Him. Well, your husbands need sex like you need conversation. It's not just a want. It's a need. Now, just like you could probably, as wives, could get used to not talking for quite some time. You could get accustomed to that. It would probably just drive you crazy. Your husbands may get used to it too. Your husbands may get used to that too. Maybe not having it, not having sex for 1 day, 2 days, 5 days. And every husband's going to be a little bit different. Sometimes the drive is even the opposite. Sometimes it's more on the wife than it even is on the husband. But the general principle is that your husbands need sex like you need conversation. That they, you know, by the end of 1-2 days, then they're going to be wanting to have sex again. And if they go 1 week or 3 weeks, they're really going to be starving for it. These are things in which can help us rejuvenate and to energize our marriage. So how does all that deal with prayer? Well, Satan attacks these areas and he challenges marriages right and left. So Jesus says to his disciples to pray. When they're out there, Jesus is in his last few hours. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he tells us in Luke 22, 40 and 46, pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And if you neglect these areas, it's going to be a temptation for the wife or the husband to maybe be drawn somewhere else. Maybe not purposefully, but it may cause that to happen. When men and women are empty of having these areas neglected, Satan's going to prey on that. He's going to know that you are deficient in that. Just think about Jesus when he was in the desert. Satan says, turn these stones into bread. Well, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Who's not going to be hungry after 40 days? Who doesn't think that the rolls at your favorite restaurant aren't going to be very appealing? I mean, I go a few hours and we go to one of our restaurants that we really like that has rolls, and it is just so appealing, you want to have that. Thinking of that, we went to that same restaurant and they were out and we were bummed. It ruined our whole time there. But who's not going to be drawn to something like that? Satan attacks us and he's going to prey on the areas in which we're deficient. Turn to James chapter 5. Jeff looked at this last night. And as he was looking at this, I was thinking about the idea of this in regards to marriage. But just looking at James chapter 5 and verse 16. Just one simple verse there. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, when it comes to marriage in relationship to this, you know, your spouse should be your best friend. They should be your best friend. And if you can't confess your sins to your best friend, then who else are you going to be confessing it to? And the context of there is confessing your sins and then praying. I think it's very important when it comes to marriage. Because I know for husbands that sometimes when we mess up, we know it, but sometimes we're cowards. We're cowards and we don't really want to admit when we made a mistake, especially when we know that our wife is going to be upset with us. We try to avoid confrontation, conflict in every ounce of the being. And so we are probably going, as husbands especially, going to be very negligent of confessing our sins to one another. in regards to our marriage situation. But we need to be faithful, and the idea of faithfulness comes through, I think, that command for us and applying it to marriage. You know, it's a vital word for marriage, as was touched on a little bit last night. You know, if a husband came home and he was having some struggles, just even visually struggling, his wife might wonder what's going on. You know, what does this other person look like? But there's going to be a sense of conflict there. But there's going to be a sense of growing closer and closer and being stronger through it. And wives, to understand that your husband is visual is very important. That comes through the for men or for women only. But husbands, you know, as you think about maybe your wife coming home and say, you know, I've just been kind of emotionally involved with this guy, you would probably be devastated also. But it would be beneficial as you prayed together, as you prayed together and worked through it together, and in maybe some situations got professional help. But if you kind of stopped it before it even started, stopped it being bad, or stopped it before it progressed into a domino effect and just got worse and worse and worse, then it would be beneficial for your marriage. About 2 years ago, after reading about another man's marriage in the book for The Power of Praying Husband, I saw what another husband did. And he wrote in there about how vulnerable he saw his wife and how much she needed his covering of prayer each and every day. And so before he left the house, he prayed for her. Every time that he left her, as far as during the day, and they prayed together, and he prayed throughout the day. And I saw that, and that was a big wake-up call. Because I'm not here to say that in our 10 years of marriage, we've been the poster couple for prayer and marriage. Probably the last 2 years. And it was after I read this that I really saw a need for prayer and marriage in the aspect, or maybe not saw a need for it, but maybe I just had the wake-up call and being able to fit it in our schedule. Because sometimes that's where Satan makes us so busy that it's hard to do that. It's hard to be able to fit it in our schedule. And so now, we pray 1 to 3 times a day as a couple. Now, the one might be on a Saturday, where we may be home all day, in the aspect of, I don't ever leave the house. And the 3 times might be of a regular work day, where I leave the house in the morning, and we pray. I leave the house at lunchtime, and we pray. We go to bed at night, and we pray. They're not always long, drawn out, but they're prayers. They're prayers to protect us. I pray, protect me physically, protect me visually, protect me emotionally, protect me psychologically. You know, I pray the same things for her. And so just as it is a conscious effort to open the door as you go out the door, or to shut off the light as you go to bed that night, it should be a conscious effort to pray. To have those little reminders to pray. You know, husbands, you need to be the spiritual leader. So you should be the ones to be praying. At least the ones to be praying. But Peter tells wives, when it comes to even respect, that their actions can help win over a husband. And that talks about an unbelieving husband, but in general, a husband. Because when it comes to marriage and relationships, you know, wives are more drawn to that, because that's about love and about getting closer together. And husbands don't like to do that. Have you ever been to a movie theater and seen a group of guys come in? They don't sit next to each other. There's one chair in between. You might even see it out here. If there's a group of guys together, they're not going to want to sit next to each other, because that's too close. They don't need that. But they can sit like that, and they can be watching, you know, whatever it might be, a movie or a sports team or whatever, and they can enjoy it all they want. Maybe you're not comfortable. Maybe you're not comfortable praying together. You know, maybe you pray, and I'm talking aside from meal times. I'm just talking about an idea of getting together next to each other, maybe even holding hands if you want to, and praying. But maybe you're not comfortable. We had a few people that weren't comfortable because it wasn't their area of interest and comfortability. But there was a woman in our congregation who wasn't comfortable. But Aubrey's class got her to be understanding how important it was to pray for her husband. Her husband works in a situation where he's around of a lot of other women. Not anything about clothing or the type of clothing, but he's around a lot of other women. And she saw some things through the class that my wife brought out that she saw that he was being just bombarded with things in society and vulnerable. And so she wanted to protect him in that through prayer. And so she started praying for him. And then they started praying together. And so they've really changed a lot in their marriage relationship. Well, there's another woman who has an unbelieving husband. She's taken the class twice, The Power of Praying Wife, twice with Aubrey. And she does it because she wants to be continually trying to pray and trying to win her husband's soul through God working in him. Working in him and gradually changing him. Another woman who has been in her group was not a member of our church. But her marriage was about over. And somebody told her about this class. And it really impacted her marriage because they were just about to fall apart. But through that, as she was praying, it's taken a big 180. They're by no means, to my knowledge, super strong, and they've got things to work out, but they're not about to get a divorce. A man in my group, he realized how much his wife needed his prayers. He looked at her a lot of times as a metal bowl, one that can be, you know, dropped and not broken. But our wives are like ceramic bowls. If they're dropped, then they can be chipped and broken. And so as he looked at her and understood through this class, he realized how important his prayers for her was. You know, you don't pray to fix your spouse. You pray to fix yourself. In other words, you pray to maybe understand your spouse a little bit. And that your actions can be more respectful or more loving. Because husbands, we don't know how to love our wives like they know how to love. And wives, you don't know how to respect your husband like they need to be respected. Not instinctively. You can learn it, but not instinctively. You know, my wife asked me once in a while, you know, why is it that football coaches can get all over those football players, yell at them, cuss at them in some instances, and there's a genuine bond of respect. But in our situation, if there's any kind of conflict, then I feel disrespectful. Disrespected by my wife. I really don't have an answer, it's just the way we are. But I think a lot of it has to do with, we want to be the king of the castle as far as husbands go. We want to be the king of the castle. We want to be the ones that are looked upon, just like in the superficial or in the beauty scale, that wives want to be looked at in highest esteem. Men want to be able to, especially like with their talents, to be looked at with high esteem. And so you don't pray to fix them, but you pray to start with yourself, no matter the situation. No matter if you've, quote, never done anything wrong. And if we look down, we know we've all done something wrong in our marriage. Even if it's just, you know, the way we snapped at them. I'm not talking about affairs or anything like that. Just, you know, as I started out the illustration of driving, even if we just snapped at them, I'm saying just something as simple as that. But prayer can have a tremendous impact on the strength, on the closeness, and on the longevity of your marriage. And so my final challenge is just to pray. To pray for your spouse. To pray for yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Father, I'm so grateful to you that the door opened, that I was able to share a message about prayer and marriage to people. Father, I pray that it is able to bless them. I pray for their marriages or their relationships that you will strengthen them, that you will bring them closer, that you will help them to understand each other better. For those that may not be married and may be looking into getting married, that you would just allow them to go into the marriage with a better understanding of each other. Father, thank you so much for this weekend. May we be blessed through it. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.